We thank you that you are present all over the world. You are the God who is present everywhere, God. There's no space, God, where your presence doesn't reach, God. Nowhere, God. Like David said, we cannot hide from you everywhere, God. But we are thankful, God, for times like this, God, when you meet with us personally. And Lord, where we can feel your presence tangibly. And we can, our hearts can respond towards you, God. Now we pray, God, that you will speak to us. And the Spirit of God, you will reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I had a very special moment with God on the camp. So our camp was amazing. For those who wonder why the church is empty, we had about 350 people in the camp, and I think everyone's slightly tired. Slightly is a euphemism. But we had such a beautiful time with God and just with friendship with one another. It was baie, baie lekker geweest. Ons het verskriklik lekker gelag en gekeier, and we played on the beach. And it's always amazing to me for our Christian experience. Because, we had the most precious moments with God in the worship and in ministry. And then we had the most lekker times with one another, laughing and playing and kicking a ball or jumping in the bag or swimming in the ocean. It's such a normal thing. And I just like it to know that God is also in the most ordinary of life. It's amazing if you read through the Gospels. Jesus had the most amazing, normal life. It's really amazing. It's just a normal. He was a normal human being. He wasn't floating on the earth ever. He walked wherever he went, literally walked, just walked. He never floated anywhere. Well, there were times definitely where he just appeared. And every one of us who were ever late for an aircraft, we've prayed that prayer. Said, Lord, will you just do it once for me now? Just once. Just let me reach. Just let me reach the airport like that. And then we're late. So I'd like us to read. I didn't prepare a PowerPoint because of our time on the camp. I couldn't do it there. But I'd just like us to read through Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 comes after Mark chapter 8. And so, like in verse 2, where it says, now after 6 days, Jesus took, just before you continue reading, just go like, after what? It says after 6 days, but it obviously, what happened 6 days earlier, because it's a very important jump here. After 6 days is 6 days after Jesus was revealed to be the Messiah, after Peter's confession. So, they were in Philippa, Caesarea. And it's a mountain town. The town originated by the pagans, the Greeks who stayed there, the pagans. And pagan worship, worshipping the Baals, the gods, the ancestors, and all that stuff. Because there was a massive fountain that gushed from the rock there. So people started setting up, obviously, for water. They wanted to be at the water. But this was holy water, and the river gods gave water there to the water from the, because it was just gushing out of the mountain like a massive, like stuff we're praying for the whole time in Cape Town. This is one of those, it was gushing. And people just started living there, and it became a worship. They had a massive shrine, a temple there. They also worshipped Pan, you know, that goat god, half goat, half man thing. They worshipped him. There was a statue of him. There was a statue of Caesar there, because Caesar's son, Philip, he put the statue there to appease him, to make a, they worship the emperor there. So there were at least 3 or 4 shrines that they have identified, archaeologists there. So it was a place where everyone came to the mountain, to go up to the mountain, to worship the whatever gods they believed in, you know. And it's amazing that Jesus was trotting among these statues, you know, of Pan and of Caesar, and of this mountain gods that gushed water from the rock. He was just trotting in this town and goes like, okay, so who do the people say I am? And then the disciple says, well, some say John, you know, was beheaded, and some say Elijah or one of the other prophets. And he's like, okay, so but who do you say I am? And then Peter had the revelation amidst all these statues of the gods,
Yeah.
He's like, ah, you are the Christ, the promised king of Israel that would establish God's reign, and you are the son of God. You are God. And he's like, well, well done, Peter. You can hear the Spirit, you can hear the Father speaking to you, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You've seen my miracles. You've seen everything I am, but everyone's confused about who I am, but you know me. So it's the first time that the disciples had the revelation that Jesus is God, that he's the Son of God, and that he's the promised Messiah. But he was so ordinary that people didn't notice that about him. It's amazing. It was so ordinary in terms of his relational life that they can't think that God is, can God really be like this, like us, in so many ways? Yes, we see the miracles, the teachings are out of this world. It's amazing, out of this world, literally. It's like, wow, but Jesus is so like us. Is God really so like us? It's like, yeah, he is. He is so much like us. And then 6 days later, so the disciples know who Jesus is. They had a revelation of, this is the Son of God. And for 6 days, they were working through this, in this town, worshiping, everyone worshiped the other stuff. But God is walking, it's ironic, isn't it? They're worshiping all these statues, and yet God is trotting among them. And they're missing him completely, like completely. They're missing him completely. And he's just trotting in the town and living, spending some time there in the mountain. And then Jesus, chapter 9, verse 2. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he led them up on the mountain, on the high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Afrikaans is so beautiful. En hy het voor hulle oë verander. Beautiful. He was transfigured before them. Voor hulle oë. In the sight of their eyes, he changed. He was no longer ordinary. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as a launderer on earth cannot whiten them. So you can see Mark trying to do something with this. Wow, it's like really white, guys, really white. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. I love this moment. It's like, it's like Jesus is transfigured so that everyone can see he's the Son of Man. He's God. He's God. And what does God do? He's having a conversation. It's like a moment. Remember when Jesus, after his resurrection, on the beach, and this Peter sees, like, what? You rose from the grave. And he jumped out of the boat after that miraculous catch of fish, of 172 fish, and the boat was sinking. And he's like, I've seen this before. And he jumps over the boat and he swims to the beach. And then Jesus' first words is, let's have breakfast. Do you have some fish to fry? Thanks. It's like, it's so ordinary, so normal life. It's like, can we share a meal? It's amazing. Slowly came to see. And they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Teacher, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. I don't know what to do. Let's make 3 tents here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's just do something here. And then he says, why? Because he didn't know what to do. I mean, what on earth? He's never done that. He's never had a meeting with God where God, it's like freaking weird. And people who lived long ago suddenly appears and he's like, can I? Because he didn't know what to do. Because he was really, really afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them. And a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And suddenly when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them that they should tell no one of the things that they'd seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising of the dead meant. It's like they didn't know what to do with this. These three men had an out-of-this-world experience with God in a mountain. Jesus invited them up, say, come. You sort of think you know who I am, but you don't know me. You don't really know me. You sort of think who I am. Yes, we've been touring for the last 3 years. We've been walking around every single day, every single town. Yes, you've seen my miracles. You've seen the breaking of bread on this ship. You had an idea of who I was when I commanded the storm to calm down. You had a moment there where you're like, who is, same words, really afraid. Who is this man that even the wind and the waves? You've seen something of who. You've heard my teachings. You know that I'm intimate with the Father. You know something of me, but but you don't really know me. You don't really know me for who I am. And I'm going to invite you to walk up on the mountain with me because I'm going to show myself. It's amazing what Mark does here. It's amazing. So let's just the first one, first point that I'd like you to see in the text. You can just jump to verse 2 again. I think all of us look at this text, and many of us have been serving God for a long time. And you've been reading the Bible for a long time. And you've been praying for a long time, and you've done Bible school. And you've been walking with God for a time, and you've seen God answer your prayers. You've seen God come through, or you know of a friend that God did a miraculous thing with when you prayed with them in the small group, and all of a sudden God did something for them. So you know that He's relational, and you know that He's almighty. You've seen something of Him, just like Peter, just like James, and just like John. And then for these three, Jesus says, listen, I want to initiate something with you. I want to show you who I really am. I want you to see something of my glory, and it's going to be really uncomfortable, and it's going to be really disturbing for you, and you're going to be confused, and maybe you're also going to say to Jesus, let's build a tent. I don't know what to do. It's like, I don't know, Jesus, let's have a cappuccino, you know? It's like, I don't know what to do with this moment. Because all of a sudden, you'll see Jesus. And I think all of us can relate to this, walking with God for a long time. These three men have been really familiar with Jesus. They're so comfortable. They didn't think anything's going to happen. They just simply walked with Jesus. They responded to an invitation of Jesus to say, let's go for a stroll. On Saturday morning, maybe this is why I'm preaching this. On Saturday morning, the Lord woke me up really, really early. I was tired. I had the whole week. I had class. I was studying and had to do some stuff with the camps and with the kids. And went to bed way too late on Friday night because that's what we do in a camp. You see people together, and we had a few cups of coffee, and we just cared till very, very late. Well, I'm 40. It was 11 o'clock. Eh? It's like way too late. It's by a lot for me. Anyway. And so I sneaked into the bed then, slept, and early, really, really early, before 5 in the morning, the Lord just woke me up, and I just had this prod that the Lord said, let's take a stroll. And I'm like, okay. So I went out of the bed, and I made a cup of coffee, and I drank, and I just felt the Lord says, no, let's take a stroll. I tried to get my Bible from the car, but I took the wrong car keys, so I couldn't, and it's a good thing, because Jesus wasn't going to speak to me through the Bible. So we just took a stroll. I'm not going to share everything. It's really personal for me. But we were walking, and the Lord just, you know, sometimes you have a meeting with Jesus, and it's amazing when you read the Bible and when you pray. But this was slightly different. Some of you have had this experience before, where Jesus was literally walking with me, like here. And I can sense His presence. And His words were really, really clear in my ears. And there was this big moment, I'm not going to share everything, but there was this big moment where I got freaked out because Jesus was really right here next to me, and creation responded, the earth responded in some way. It was an extraordinary moment for me, and I obviously did what all of us do when things are too big. I was really afraid, and I prayed, and I cried too much. It's an amazing moment with Jesus, and it's an invitation. And the reason why I had that moment was because I said, yes, I'll climb out of bed. I'll walk with you. Let's walk. It's a simple thing. Responded to an invitation by Jesus. Simple thing. Respond to an invitation. It's amazing. Peter, James, and John didn't initiate this, let's have a get to know who Jesus is moment. They simply walked with Him, and they responded to an invitation when the Lord says, come, let's do this. No guilt, no shame. I wonder how many times I've missed moments because I didn't really feel like responding to the invitation of Jesus. If you think about it, it's stupid, eh? It's like God Almighty invites you to a conversation and you go like, yes, I don't know. I want to watch a rerun of Friends Series 7 now. You don't really laugh. It's crazy. When Jesus responds, invites, and it's amazing. Peter, James, and John had an extraordinary revelation of who Jesus was because they responded to an invitation that He had. responded to invitation. Just through the years, I've noticed that, and that's maybe why I woke up when Jesus said, let's go. That you get, not every Bible study of mine, I see gold dust fall from the sky. Not every Bible study of mine, I see angels flying through my room. No, it hasn't happened. Not every Bible study of mine, or every time I go to pray in the morning, I do it every single morning. Not every morning I do it, I had one of these meetings like I had on Saturday morning. But because it's not just that I had that, I had context because God was pointing to some scriptures, or some scriptures came to mind when the stuff happened. It wasn't out of this world because it was rooted and grounded in Psalm 113 and 14, which I was memorizing last year. So when these things happened, I'm like, this is exactly what the Bible speaks about in those verses. It's exactly, I had the same moment. Because Jesus was just trying to point a really simple truth to me on Saturday, that really, I walk with you always. I had this moment, which freaked me out. But from the beginning of the year, from the 1st of Jan, I prayed 1st of Jan, and I really spent some time with God. And then the Lord said to me, Ross, and you'll notice because I've told many of you that I'm praying this for us as a church, but I'm praying this for me, that I pray that I will know the reality of God's presence everywhere, and I pray that I will know the fullness of God's power everywhere. This is my simple prayer that I'm praying for me for the year. God, this is what I feel that you're saying to me that you want to introduce me. So when this thing happened on Saturday morning, I'm like, this is exactly what we've been praying for. I had a moment to reference when God is present and I recognize him, I can see what he does. It's big. And this is amazing. And it happens because Peter, James, and John walked with Jesus the whole time, steadily. And they didn't have freaky moments with Jesus every day, regularly, because we read of it in the Gospels. But they had moment, this one moment that they had with Jesus, because he said, let's go up the mountain. Come take a stroll. Let's go up the mountain. It's amazing. Initiated by Jesus, there was a familiarity. And because they responded, they saw something. I want you to get something else here. When you think about going up to the mountain to meet God, so if you're really new to the church scene, you can just smile now. But if you've been reading the Bible for a while, when you hear going up to the mountain to meet God, what Bible story comes to mind? Just tell the person next to you. You can, there's five, but just go with what you think. Go up to the mountain. Invitation by God to go up to the mountain. So how many of you thought about Abraham? Come up on the mountain, worship me. How many of you thought about Moses? Come up on the mountain and understand that I'm a moral, holy God. How many of you thought about Elijah? Come up on the mountain. No, I'm not in the storm and the fire and everything. I'm simply in the whisper. I'm the personal, holy God. Yes, how many of you thought about John, Revelation, the book of Revelation? Come up here, I want to show you something. What does he see? He sees God on the throne room in his fullness and beauty and his faithfulness with all the angels worshiping. And he freaks out because he's known who God is, but he's never seen God like this. It's amazing. There are a few other examples in the Bible, but these are the major ones. When God says, come up, I want to show you something. I want to show you who I am. And it's exactly what Jesus does here. The only difference is when, and this is the purpose here, for the disciples. Remember, this primarily happened for the disciples. When he invited them up, when Moses went up, he meant to meet God. And God showed himself. And when Elijah did the same thing, And Abraham did the same thing. They meet God, you know, in some way, and they get a revelation of who God is. And yeah, the disciples go up the mountain, and they freak out because who's God here? It's like the one who's been walking with you the whole time. And they freak out because Jesus, and that's the point of the story here, that he's the promised Son of Man because he's radiated like in Daniel chapter 7. It's an amazing story. But he's that. And the point is that Jesus took them up so that they may know him. That they may know him. That was the point of the whole exercise. Simply that they may know him. Saying to them, you have a vision of who I am. Yes, you know that I'm the Son of God. And yes, you know that I am the Messiah, the promised King. But you have no idea really what I am or who I am. You've never seen me in my glory. I'm going to give you a glimpse of my glory. And it's going to freak you out if you see how big I am. And you know, since Saturday, I've been praying. I'm saying, God, I've been serving you for many, many years. I've been pastor for 16 years. I've been preaching for 16 years. I've been walking faithfully with you for a long time, just like the disciples. But this, I didn't really know this. I could probably teach this before, but I never really experienced. I haven't really experienced what I experienced with you. And this is the invitation that Jesus took to his disciples. But you'll see in the text, why did he want to reveal himself to them? Why did he want to reveal himself to them? When the voice of the Father came, he said exactly what they knew and what he said at his baptism. This is my, but he didn't say it to Jesus. He said it to the disciples. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And what did he say after that? Listen to him. Hear him. Obey him. Because now Jesus is not just a rabbi. You'll notice, what does Peter call him here in the text? They say, teacher. And then the Father responds, he's no, dude. He's not just your teacher. This is God. This is God. This is not just good advice that he gives you. This is not just a means of ethical living like the other rabbis teaching. This is not just a good advice stories or, you know, if you do this, you'll probably work out well. He said to them with a great urgency, listen to him, obey him, hear him, do what he says, because he has the words of life. And that is the point of the whole story. Because just after that, what happened after that? As he came down the mountain, he walked straight to Jerusalem, and he was going to die, and he's going to be here no more. So there's a sense of urgency, like, this is going to be my last few weeks on earth. Everything I've taught you. I just want you to see who I am, so that when I'm gone, you'll understand that when I was walking with you, I was not just giving you good advice. And that's why Christians revere the Bible and the words of the Gospels so much. Because this is the words of God himself. It's the words of God himself. Everything that he teaches as God. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because this is really something. The revelation happened that they know him so that they may obey him. It's not just a moment. This is a moment which is really so that they may obey him. I just wanted to point to something. So Moses and Elijah is having a conversation. It's really asperis. I always wondered how did James and John knew, and you know Peter, how did they know it was Elijah and Moses next to him? Saw a photo on Facebook of Jesus. You know, how did they? Anyway, but they knew it was them instinctively. So obviously, the experience that they had with Jesus, they knew it wasn't something strange. It was rooted in the old promise of God through Scripture. It is Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets. So it's rooted in the fullness of the story of God. This is not a new movement that Jesus starts. It's just the story of God in fullness. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He's the same one. And it grounded in everyday experience just in that. What was the response of the disciples? I'd just like you to note that. We smiled earlier. It's freaked out, completely freaked out, absolutely uncomfortable, really, really uncomfortable. It's like, you can see because he said so. It's like, I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this whole experience. It's like, this is not a good experience. It wasn't like an amazing church moment where we just stand like this. I remember a time in Stellenbosch. Let me just let you laugh for a second. So we were in Stellenbosch, and there was a big, big Sanlam Cell church. No, it wasn't the DF. It was a big, big church meeting. And all of a sudden, the worship team stopped playing. And then everyone just stood back. But we heard angels singing. So you can laugh now because this you'll understand. So it was like this moment, and everyone's like, I've never heard this before. I read about this in the Bible. I heard people had this experience, but we're all like, I don't know really, how do you respond to this? I don't really know. And then we just saw one guy running to the back of the sound desk, and he pressed stop on the CD player. Because the background music, you know, that Gladiator music, soundtrack where there's like that girl walking through, that music was playing. And we're all like, when I think about this story, that's my frame of reference. It's like, you don't really know what to do now. This is happening. So luckily that wasn't the angels. We could just stop it. But it's amazing. Peter, James, and John, they were absolutely uncomfortable. And what was the other response here? They were scared out of their wits. They were really afraid. It was too big for them because this is just too much for me. I mean, you'll see every single time when someone sees the Lord, even when someone sees an angel in the Bible, what is the response? They are extremely afraid because this is too big for them. The moment is too big. The glory, the weightiness, the experience is too big for them. And the first thing every angel says, or the Lord says, is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's because it's a normal response. I just want to point you to something here. When I was meditating on the text, I think in almost every single instance in my life when I grew in the revelation of who God is was during a time when I was really, really uncomfortable. Because when I'm comfortable, it means that everything I see now is familiar to me. And it's lekker. And I'm not just talking about moments like I had on Saturday, but other moments as well. You grow in the knowledge of how big God is when God is bigger than your situation or bigger than your idea. And that always makes you really uncomfortable. It always makes you really uncomfortable when God is bigger than you. Because if you aren't afraid, it just means same old, same old. It's all the same. It's all the same to you. But this is an amazing story. It's too big for them. Really, really too big for them. Remember a time last year, many of you, some of you really know me well, so you know the story. But last year was a really uncomfortable church experience for me. Not really this church, but the bigger church. We really had an uncomfortable situation because the founder of the Shofar Christian Church movement stepped down and did a handover. But that really made things uncomfortable because for 22 years I've been in this church, 21 years I've been in this church, and for 21 years, Fred was always leading everything, and there was really uncomfortable situation. So you're like suddenly out of your wit, and you think, oh, the speaker de Makar, because now the 32 churches in South Africa and 30 in Malawi and all over, how will things pan out and what will happen? Because there's really, it's always when there's a transition leadership, politically, in the world, or in the church, or everywhere else, it's really uncomfortable because there are things shifting and relationships are being tested big time. And I was really, really uncomfortable. And it was amazing that I always could quote to you that Jesus is the builder of the house and Jesus is the one who's in control of his church. And all of you guys can quote it. I experienced that in a supernatural way last year when things really turned out really beautifully. Really beautifully. And it's just because of an uncomfortable situation, and mostly because there was such a need for God to intervene that God did intervene. And I knew that really this is his church and he builds his church. You know, and what can man do in the whole situation? So that's just something I wanted to share. I want to move now to the next one, which I want to say. Many of us had a great experience over the weekend with Jesus, a really amazing moment. I want you to see here. So Jesus leads Peter, James, and John up the mountain. They're up on the mountain. They are freaked out by seeing Jesus for who he really is. And then Peter does something instinctively. He says, can we stay here, please? Can I make some tents? Can we hang in this holy moment? Can we live up here? I mean, everyone comes up into the mountain to do what? To worship their gods. So can we make you a tent, a tabernacle here like in the Old Testament? Can we build you a place here? We'll build a temple later. Can we stay here with you to see you for who you really are? Because this is an incredible moment. And then the Father just does what he wanted to do. He says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And then all of a sudden, the cloud is gone. The voices are gone. Moses and Elijah's gone. And Jesus said, let's go back down. And they're like, nia, nia, nia. Let's stay on the mountain. This is good. This is flippant, amazing. And then Jesus stops shining and says, let's go down again. And they go like, no, no. I want to live up there. I want to live in this holy moment. This is an awesome moment. This is an awesome moment. And then Jesus says, no. Life with me isn't one long, awesome moment. This is for you to know who I am. Let's continue with life. Let's do what I came to do. Thanks. Let's continue. And you sort of go like, this freaking weird. Because up here is Jesus radiating God Almighty. And they freak out because they see him like this. And it's like this awesome moment. And they're like, and then a few weeks later, he's God bleeding on a cross, dying, suffering. Every time they beat him, he doesn't glow, but he bleeds until there's no blood left in him. And it's like, this is really, really weird. I want you to see what Jesus does here. When he's in this moment, radiating glory, what's the first words that he says to the disciples? I just want to tell you guys, let's go to Jerusalem because it's really important for this Son of Man. For those of you who don't really understand the context, it's from Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, 13, 14. Daniel sees the Messiah and he calls him the Son of Man. He says, because he's one that looks nearly like man, but he doesn't really look like man. But to him is given, and he's radiating. And he's been given all authority, power, and glory in heaven and earth. So it's God. So whenever Jesus refers to himself, that is the favorite title that he refers to himself every single time. The Son of Man. He says, I'm that guy. So I want you to see when he says, so this Son of Man, it's necessary for this Son of Man to go to Jerusalem, to suffer, and to die at the hands of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. And yet, so he roots his suffering, his bleeding, and his death in his identity as this glorified, amazing, can't touch this moment. And then Jesus says, let's go down, thanks, let's go on with life. Let's go bleed, let's go suffer, let's be mocked, let's be beaten, let's be spat on. Let's continue with life. Because this holy moment is not meant for us to float forever here. This is just a moment for you to know me and to obey me. And what must you obey? Follow my example. Let's go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I want you to know that's the route for all of us. It's amazing, isn't it? Because like Saturday, with the moment that I had there with God, I mean, so I know this, but I woke up on Sunday and I'm like, it would have been amazing if I had the same moment again. But I had that moment yesterday morning. And on Sunday, I woke up and I was really, really tired. And I did read the Bible like every single day and I did pray. And I knew that God was with me because of what he told me yesterday. And I knew in which way he was with me because of what I experienced yesterday. But I didn't experience the same thing. It doesn't mean that I'm not following Jesus. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't pleased with me anymore. But I didn't have the same moment that I had yesterday. But that moment that I had on Saturday was a teaching moment. And Jesus, just for a moment, opened my eyes so that I can forever live with that faith. That he's with me as the Lord of the creation with me. So that moment that I had, so my faith in today, that I walk by faith, not by sight, not by experience, is grounded in the reality of my Saturday morning that I had with Jesus. And this is amazing. Life on earth is normal with mountaintop experiences when Jesus initiates it, not when I initiate it. When he invites me to know something about himself. But I walk with him every single day and experience his grace every day, the knowledge of his grace. But there are moments when when I've heard the angels and it wasn't the CD. And there are moments, just moments, just like moments. And afterwards you go like, did that really happen? You know, did that really happen? I mean, am I hallucinating? And then you try to recreate that moment and, you know, it's like Peter, James, and John climbing that mountain again and going like, okay, Jesus, Moses, Elijah, God. And then it's just a mountain. It's just a mountain. It's just like a mountain like any other mountain. And you don't see him and there's no light freaking you out and there's like, it's so familiar, it's so normal. But everyone heard the Father, and everyone saw Jesus there, and he invites us to walk with him. Life on earth is like that. It is always a walk of faith. It is always a walk of faith. And this is the amazing story. The fact that you don't see Jesus in this context every single day does not mean he is not that, and it doesn't mean he's not in control. We're just invited to walk by faith and hold on to the moments when he does reveal himself. Because Moses just had a few moments like that in his life. And Joshua just had a few moments like that in his life. And we read it like this. But please note, you know, from Moses to Jesus spans 1,500 years. These amazing moments span 1,500 years. So it's not all the moments that people experience with God. You know, in the Gospels, we read through it in an hour, less than an hour if it's Mark, much less. But it spans 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And you read through the book of Acts, and it's like flippin' awesome. But it spans a few years. It spans a few years. We all have these moments. The fact that we don't have a moment like this every single day does not mean that we don't have true faith. And it doesn't mean that you aren't the chosen one to see God. But the moments that we do have with God are teaching moments. And please note, Peter, James, and John, the moment that they had wasn't something absolutely out of this world. It simply confirmed that Jesus was promised to, and came to fulfill the law, Moses, and the prophets. And then Jesus said, can you see me? Do you see this radiance? It's like Daniel said, I am the Son of Man. So even if they did not have this moment, Jesus was still the one who fulfilled the law and the prophets and Daniel's prophecy. Grounded in Scripture. Grounded in Scripture. He invited them. So I want to close with you now. Just simple close. And I want to, first of all, I want to urge you. Like really, really urge you. Psalm 27. Yesterday, Sunday morning, when I had my quiet time, I read through Psalm 27. It's Sunday morning. It's today, anyway. This morning I read through the Bible and I'm reading through the Psalms at the moment, meditating, praying through them every day. And it was Psalm 27 again today. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me, my enemies, foes, I stumble, fall. The war may rise against me, and this will I trust. So it's David's setting, being really, really afraid. And he says, I'm holding on to God. And then verse 8, he just prays to God. And then verse 8. And I want you to get this, the Lord's invitation saying, you said to me, Lord, seek my face. And my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. An invitation. David is scared out of his wits because Saul and all the company are literally out to hunt him. The whole army of Israel is out to hunt him. And then while he's in the cave in the mountain, he prays to God and he freaks out. And then he just hears the Lord's invitation saying, seek my face. And then David says, your face I'm going to seek. When there's an invitation, David responds and he says, I'm going to do it. And then you'll see the rest of the psalm. That's what he does. He says, even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Wait on the Lord and he will strengthen your heart. He'll bring courage to your bones. Wait on the Lord. Verse 14. Really, really simple one. When the Lord calls you, and it's something you train yourself in, it's easy to respond to God when he calls you if what you do every single day is seek him. It's an attitude. It's a disposition of the heart. It's not an activity. It's an attitude. I'm seeking you. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to know you so that I can know who you really are, and I want to become like you. It's an attitude in the heart. It's like a disposition. It's like your orientation. So when you're turning towards the Lord and your attitude is to seek him, and you hear the simple invitation saying, let's take a stroll. Or it's like sometimes happened to you when you're really, really tired in bed, and you hear the Lord saying, you just have that feeling where you should pray now. And it's really, the bed is really lacquer. And you have this invitation. Come pray. Talk to me for a while. I want to encourage you to respond to the Lord in prayer. Whenever we draw near to him, what does the Lord promise? I'm going to draw near to you. So it's something you can initiate. But when we hear the invitation, like they're saying, you're walking with Jesus, your life, you're walking with Jesus. And Jesus says, come up on the mountain with me. Let's go and meet with God. Come up in the mountain. And you climb with him. I want to tell you that every time you do that, you'll meet with him. And not every single time you'll hear angel bells and tubular bells and all of those bells somewhere. But what you'll do, what you will have, is the attention of God. It's the attention of God. And there might be amazing moments, but just respond when he calls. Also want to challenge you, because this was good for me. I've been praying for I've been serving God for a long time, but I had to come to the realization earlier this year that I'm so confident that when I come to church or when I come to my quiet time, I'll meet with God. I'm so confident because it's not as though I'm super faith. It's just I know, I've learned through experience that when I draw near to him, he'll draw near to me. But when I'm doing shopping, I'm not so aware of God's presence. It isn't as though God is not in the shopping mall. Jesus doesn't have a problem with markets or shopping malls. He's there. But I had to acknowledge that I am not so I don't expect to meet him there. And so that's why I'm praying the whole year, God, will you help me to know your presence everywhere and to know your power everywhere? So the moment I had on Saturday was exactly that. So that now, while I'm just taking a stroll in the campsite, all of a sudden God surprises me with his presence in a special way. It's amazing. It's a teaching moment for me. So I had to acknowledge, and that's what I'm saying to you. Maybe you also, like me and like the disciples, have become a little bit familiar with Jesus. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. You know he's God, but you don't, maybe like them, we don't really know what that really means if he says he's God. You know he's big, but have you experienced the bigness? So just to have a conversation with the Lord about that I've been having for a while, that I'm a little bit familiar with you. I know you're big, but I don't really know how big. And on Saturday, I had a little moment where I freaked out because I had something of the size of God, where tremble, O whole earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. We have a moment where, this really happens. So just to pray and to talk to the Lord about that, saying, will you please show me who you are? Will you please show me who you are? And then the Lord's going to go ask me, I'll do it. You don't have because you don't ask. And then the last one is just to hold on to the revelation. And maybe this is a good activity for you. We have these writings because someone held on to the revelation the moment that they have. This is just a few stories. of a few people's lives. It's a simple story. It's something that someone recorded because of what God has done. We have Joshua's account of when he entered into the Jordan River and he saw the Lord of hosts, the commander of the host of heaven. He thought it's just a guy with a giant with a drawn sword. And he's like, "Is he firme of tienme?" It's like arrogance, like, "I'm going to chop off your head." And then Jesus answered and says, "Neither. I'm the commander of the host of heaven. I'm here because the Lord sent me with his army." And then he freaks out because he sees Jesus. But the reason why we have that story is because Joshua simply wrote it down. First of all, for himself. And then for his kids and the people around him to know who the Lord really is, that he actually responds and that he's alive. And I want to challenge you to just think through this, maybe with your small group on Wednesday, just to talk through that with the guys. This is what recently happened with me. This is where I experienced God. Just to think about it, to tell the stories, to remind yourself of moments that you had, because we don't have those moments every day. But when we have those moments, it's a teaching moment so we can live in the reality and serve God in the reality of that moment. If that makes sense. Seek my face. You said your face, Lord, I will seek. Let's pray. Father, God, we've become so aware, Lord, of your presence in our services, God. It's just amazing. It's just amazing for us, God, that when we come to church, we actually come to meet with you. And we can experience you, God. We experience your love and we experience something of your glory. We experience your joy in many ways, God. And sometimes we experience your burden for the world that we live in, God. Your compassion, your love, God. We've really come to experience your presence here in church, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, God. That when we come together, God, when we worship you, that you inhabit your praises. It's amazing for us, God. It's amazing, Lord, that when we read your word, that many times, God, we hear you speaking to us, God, or sometimes when we drive around and we look at the clouds or creation, God, we get a sense, God, that you're saying something to us, God. We're so thankful, God, that we hear your voice when you speak to us through our friends, God, when they pray for us or when they counsel us, talk to us. And sometimes when you're just aware that you speak to us in our thoughts, God, or sometimes in visions or in dreams, I thank you, God, that you're always reaching out and always communicating, that you're the God who hears and you're the God who talks, Lord. We've become so aware that you are that God. And Lord, like you've done for me, God, over the weekend and for Siko over the weekend and for many other people over the weekend that had very precious moments with you, I pray in Jesus' name, God, will you show us, everyone here, will you show us who you are, God? Will you reveal yourself to us, God? Like on Moses, God, when that you are the Lord, the Savior, the Provider, the God who provides, God. Or like Moses, the Holy God with his law. Or like John saw you in your fullness and your beauty and your faithfulness and your power, God. Will you do that for us, God? Will you show us so that our faith, Lord, may be strengthened by these precious moments, God, and not just rely, Lord, on your word, God, and your text, God, but I pray for moments where I personally, where we experience your fullness and your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray specifically for all of us, God. I pray for a sensitivity to your invitations in Jesus' name. I pray for a sensitivity to your invitations, Lord. Help us not to miss your invitations in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close, and this is not just an activity. I'd like you to have a conversation with the person next to you, and just tell him this is what you saw in the text today. Maybe this is what you heard, and maybe just to sense something of a longing or whatever. What you think about when you saw that moment that Peter had. What are you thinking? What are you longing? What do you want? Just to hear, because the Bible says that whenever we have conversations, that he's listening. So maybe just to, as a means of expressing it to God, just talk to one another. What did you hear? What did you experience? Let's have that conversation, and then you can stand up and pour someone a cup of coffee at the back or tea. Some of us are really tired after the camp. If you see someone tired, just pour them a cup of coffee. They can make it home. Amen.